You're listening to a special edition of Away with Words, the show about language and how we use it. I'm Grant Barrett.
And I'm Martha Barnett. Today, we're listening back to some of our favorite discussions with some of our youngest listeners. They have a way of making you take a second look at familiar words and phrases.
Hi, who's this?
Aya.
Aya, where are you calling from?
Virginia.
Virginia. Well, welcome to the show. Do you have a question for us, Aya?
I wanted to know if high and dry is a good thing or a bad thing.
Is high and dry a good thing or a bad thing? Huh. Well, what got you to wondering about that, Aya?
Because a week ago we called one of our families and we asked them if they're high and dry because there was a storm coming.
Oh, okay. And so you wanted to know if they were safe.
I thought it was a bad thing.
Oh.
So okay. What do you think high and dry means?
I think it's a bad thing because it's not good to leave something when you just started it. You leave your partner high and dry.
Oh.
That is a good life lesson. You nailed it, Aya. It's not good to leave people stranded, is it?
Nope.
So, Aya, the thing is that high and dry can mean a couple of different things.
It can be a good thing.
It can be a good thing if something is safe, like if your friends are high and dry and they're away from the flooding, then they're safe. But if you're a fish, you don't want to be high and dry.
Or if you're a boat that's supposed to be in the water, but the storm throws you up on the hill far, far inland.
Or a mermaid.
Right, or a mermaid.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, she doesn't want to be thrown into the land, right? She would be high and dry, and that's not where she belongs.
Yeah.
So your idea that it's bad is sometimes true, but it's also sometimes good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the answer is basically that it depends on the situation.
Yeah, you always have to listen to the words around it, the sentences that are being said near high and dry, to really understand what someone means when they say high and dry. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for your call. Thank you for talking to us, Aya. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Call us again sometime.
Okay. I love you guys.
I love you too. Bye-bye.
I love you too.
Take care now.
Bye.
Oh, my heart. How cute was that?
Right? How adorable.
And I think you summed it up really well, Grant, the fact that words change their meaning depending on context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we also hear from teenagers whose language is just a little bit different from their parents, like in this call from 13-year-old Sophia.
Well, I have a question about this term that my sister and I use, and actually some of my friends. Whenever we're going to Google something, we always say, let's search it up. Let's search it up on the internet. And my mom, who is a speech pathologist, she is always correcting us, and she's saying, like, no, it's not search it up, it's look it up. And so we were wondering, like, is it something that just we say? Is it wrong? And yeah.
How long do you think you've been saying search it up?
Honestly, since I can remember.
Okay.
It's what I've said.
And your mom, her protest is it's not the way that she says it, so she feels like it's wrong?
Yeah, she says that it's look it up or just search it.
Mm-hmm.
Not search it up.
All right. Well, one nice thing about this show is we have listeners from all over. And when I search all of our email, our phone calls and stuff, I can find this has come up before. So I know, even without searching the whole internet, that you are not alone and that other people mm-hmm. say search it up too, meaning to look something up on the internet. It can sound
okay.
wrong to somebody's ears who's used to phrases like look it up or hunt it up or dig it up. But it's new. It's a new language change, and I congratulate you on noticing it, or your mom for noticing it. And it is literally used by zillions of people. A zillion is a really big word.
Well, that's really, thank goodness.
But the thing is, it's language change in motion. It is language happening right in front of us. And it does tend to be younger people, typically under the age of, say, mid-20s. Not always. Obviously, these are just ballpark numbers. And it definitely is on the model of look it up or read it up, or sorry, read up on it or hunt it up or dig it up. And there's an interesting thing happening here. People are bothered, I think, most of all by the it in there. People are a little less bothered by search up, although that also sounds weird. But I don't see that much difference between search for it on the internet or search it up on the internet. It feels like the same thing to me, except with one little caveat.
Sophia, I have a question for you. If you mm-hmm. were searching for the answer in a book, would you still say, I'm going to search it up?
Ooh.
I don't think I would. Mm. I think it depends.
Look it up?
Yeah, I would probably say look it up or just try to find it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah.
It is exciting to watch those subtle changes in language happening right under our feet. We'll be back with more insights like that from our youngest listeners, but right now it's time to pitch in to help keep this public radio station going strong.
You don't even have to search it up.